Hebrews chapter 3, we have the beginning of the second warning passage in the book of Hebrews. And we could say that the warning could be summarized as spiritual lessons in not losing or leaving God's perfect will. And of course, Jewish believers were tempted to go backward. They were tempted not to go forward. They were tempted to try to forsake the Lord and the persecution that was associated with the Lord, the reproach, and to enjoy the ease and the comfort of Judaism. And so we have, as we began last week, this second warning passage. Verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, and this is an inference to the fact that as we are quoting Psalm number 95, and it is an obvious statement that Psalm 95 was written by the Holy Spirit. And the psalmist spake as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. And so we have an inference to the inspiration of Scripture. But quoting Psalm 95, today, if ye will hear his voice. And we'll not repeat last week's message on today. And a very important truth in the Bible. The first principle of not losing God's will has to do with the urgency of now. Of doing God's will now while you can. Not later. But now, you know, once in a while, in the grace of God, someone later on does the will of God. But that's only the grace of God. But the spiritual principle is now. And you know what? Some of you know who I'm talking about, but we have a number of young people. Maybe there's some adults here. That you're in the midst of this realm of indecision. Well, you call it indecision, but it's really a decision not to yield to the Lord. It's really a decision to forsake the opportunity you have right now to surrender to the Lord and do the will of God. And that's the number one, principle number one. The spiritual lesson of not losing God's will, God's perfect will for your life, is the importance of now, the importance of the urgency of the moment, the importance of responding while you can. Responding to that opportunity to go forward. Responding to God's call to higher ground. You could say many different things, but the decision to obey God's will, to surrender to God, to do God's will, to respond to the call of God to higher ground, every one of these things is a very key point. And he uses the illustration of Israel in the wilderness. God brought them to a point. They were to go forward. They didn't go forward. And they spent the rest of their life being taken care of by God. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. He fed them manna every day. He took care of them. But they didn't get to go into the promised land. And there is the picture here of the difference between perhaps you would call the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. And that perfect will of God requires that urgency, that ability to respond now to God's leading to forward ground. Okay? Now he says, today, if you will hear. You know what I mean? Hear. You know, we tried that experiment about hearing once. And Heather and Melissa's bedroom was right above the kitchen. And we spent most of our time in the kitchen. And their room was right above the kitchen. And we would say, whatever, Heather, Melissa, come on down here. I'm sure this wasn't all the time, but happened once in a while. So we said, come on down here. And nothing happened. And we call up there, and they said, didn't you hear us? Nope. And then we said, well, we're going to try an experiment. And so Tonda and I, we started whispering about candy, you know, kind of low voices. And all of a sudden we heard this voice from it, but what'd you say about candy? Well, you know, hearing is a decision. Right, men? You know what the difference about difference between hearing and a hearing aid? A hearing aid, it magnifies all the sounds. But without a hearing aid, you have the ability to hear the sounds that you choose to hear, and you can block out the sounds that you don't want to hear. But with a hearing aid, you don't have that choice. A hearing aid magnifies all the sounds, and if somebody gets a hearing aid and you say to them, boy, isn't that great to hear? And a lot of times they'll say, oh, man, you know, I got all this noise blasting in my head. And it really isn't a very pleasant experience because we have the choice to hear. We have the choice to hear. And the apostle is saying, okay, if you're going to be in God's perfect will, you need to exercise your ability to hear. To hear is a spiritual perception that allows the supernatural word to quicken us and to bring us to action. To hear is a supernatural perception that allows the supernatural word to quicken us and bring us to action. Notice what Jesus said about his word in John chapter 6 and verse 63. What did the Lord say about the scripture? What did he say about his word? He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, they are life-giving. They are spiritual. They are quickening. They make a person alive. They enliven a person with spiritual life. And so how is it that someone can come to church and we do it? We come to church and we hear the same message as someone else and we walk out of here and maybe we didn't even hear it at all. I mean, maybe we were tired and we slept through it all. You know, maybe we were bored. You know, maybe you looked out the window and watched the corn grow, you know. Maybe we were, you know, thinking about something else. Now everybody's watching the corn grow. Okay, no. No, but you know what? We went to church and we didn't hear anything. Or maybe we heard it with our ears, but it didn't affect us. You know, maybe you paid, maybe you were giving a lot of attention to what was being said, but it made no effect upon your life. Well, what's the difference? Hearing is a spiritual perception that allows the supernatural word to quicken us and bring us to action. That is why the word hear in the Old Testament is the same, the Hebrew word that's translated hear, shema, is the same word that is translated obey. Because what is the Bible saying? If the word doesn't bring us to action, the living word of God, the supernatural living truth, if it doesn't do something in our life, we didn't hear. And so we have all these warnings and emphases in the Bible about hearing. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What is he emphasizing? He's emphasizing there's a choice, isn't there? Listening is a choice. You come to church and you decide to listen. That is a decision. He that hath ears, let him hear. Matthew 13, verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. So they heard, but they didn't understand. There wasn't the decision to listen. This ever happened to you, parents? You gave your child, you told them what you wanted them to do, and they said, you know, I didn't hear that. Does that ever happen to any parent here? You know why? Because hearing is a choice. Hearing is a choice. And it's a spiritual choice. Okay? Matthew 13, 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is the seed, is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now notice it said it heard, but it didn't understand. What's missing? The work of the Holy Spirit. The illumination of the Holy Spirit. The understanding that only the Holy Spirit can give. That's what is missing. And so the key, the whole issue of hearing is that it's a work of God that needs to take place in our life. I remember one time I was at Camp Joy, and I had an opportunity to preach at a singles retreat, and I preached a message, and a young lady afterwards came to me and said, you know, he said something about, you know, about drinking alcohol, and how I'd like to ask you, what does the Bible say about that? And I gave her a couple of verses. I'm sure I probably gave her Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Probably gave her Proverbs 23. Look not thou upon the wine when it turneth itself aright, when it changes the color, something like that. And I gave her just one or two verses, and it was like, oh, I see that. I understand. And she had no more questions about if God wanted her to drink again anymore. It was all over. She had it all figured out. Well, how did she hear that? You know, there's people that I've shared 50 verses with, and they couldn't get it. They weren't convinced. What's the difference? Well, the difference was this person wanted to hear. And because she made a choice to hear, the Holy Spirit had the ability to illuminate her mind. And so the apostle is saying that the key to not losing God's perfect will for your life is the decision to hear God. The decision to hear God. To allow the Spirit of God to take the truth and apply it to your life. You know, that isn't so hard to figure out. You know, God knows us better than we know ourselves. But you know, if you don't want to listen to the Lord, you're not going to hear the Lord. If you don't want God's will, you're not going to decide to hear. And the Spirit of God won't be able to show you His will and open the Word to your life, because you have decided not to hear. So, in order not to lose the will of God, He says we need to hear. It's interesting, in Revelation 2 and 3, we have the letters to the seven churches, and it's interesting what it says over and over. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I've thought this before, but I was reading this in my devotions this week, and I thought, how many churches here? How many churches hear the Lord and repent of going the wrong direction? That's a pretty serious question, isn't it? And so, in order not to lose God's perfect will, we have to have ears that hear. And then along with that is a warning, Hebrews 3. It says, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness. And of course, later on, it talks about that, verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we have this warning that we need to be careful not to harden our heart. Now, there's obviously two things here. One is when the Spirit of God is speaking to us, we need to be careful not to harden our hearts. The Spirit of God is speaking to us, and we resist, we say no. We will be like the people of Israel who lost God's perfect will for their life. They said no to God. And that's something that's a part of our everyday life, is we have to decide to listen to God. Now, Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Stephen is rehearsing the history of the people of Israel. He's rehearsing their history. And now it comes the wonderful stage in history that the Jewish Messiah has come. He has not only come, but he walked on this earth and he preached to them and he healed and he proved himself to be the Son of God and he died and he rose again from the dead. And this Messiah has came to deliver the Jewish people, the ultimate of Jewish history. And Stephen is saying, you just did what you always did. How did they miss Jesus Christ as their Savior? How did they miss the kingdom of God? You know how they missed it? By hardening their heart. And so Philip says to them, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so did you. You know, God led them to all these places and they're always resisting God, resisting God. Now the Messiah comes, the Spirit of God is filled him without measure. There was absolutely no excuse for them not to believe. And yet they didn't believe. Why? Because they resisted the pricks of the Holy Spirit. They resisted the pricks of the Holy Spirit. Why do people go to hell? Because the Holy Spirit someday pricks their heart and said, you know, that's sin. And they say, nope, not a problem. And they resisted the Spirit of God trying to illuminate them and bring them to repentance. They said, no. They resisted the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a dangerous thing to harden our hearts. It's a dangerous thing to harden our hearts. And we look at it, maybe they looked at it, oh, it's just a little thing. Huh. little thing. God requires truth on the inward part. And so he said, if you don't want to miss God's perfect will, make sure you don't harden your heart. But he says there's another problem. And that is, our heart can be hardened without us knowing it. It says our heart can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, I'm going to sell you something, Jonathan. Okay? You know, I'm going to sell you this golden ink pen for $500. Okay? And I gave you a big long line, and you're going to say me, you bleed me, and you're going to buy this for $500. Okay? Now, how'd that happen? Well, I deceived you. Would it be deceiving you if you knew that I was deceiving you? No. It wouldn't be deceiving if you didn't know, if you knew it was deceiving. I mean, that's the simple truth about it. Sin is deceptive. And when we get sin in our life, it deceives us. It says, you're okay. Your heart isn't hard. You're fine. But the fact is, your heart is hard. And sin made it hard. But you don't know it's hard because sin has deceived you. And so, young person, or mom and dad, or adult, we let sin in our life, and it deceives us. We says, oh, we're fine. And so we come to church for 25 weeks in a row, and we never make a decision because we're never under conviction, because we never feel the pricks of the Holy Spirit. Why? I mean, at least out of 25 weeks, there ought to be one good sermon. But why didn't we feel the pricks of the Holy Spirit? Because our heart has been hardened. But we're okay. We're okay. Sin has deceived us. So he says this great danger, this danger of allowing our heart to be hardened. Whether we harden it ourselves or whether it is hardened by sin, when our heart is hardened, we can miss God's will for our life. You know, it's going like going down the freeway. Or, you know, going somewhere. You make one wrong turn. And after a while, you say, I wonder if I made the wrong turn. You know? I wonder if I made the wrong turn. Well, you know, especially if you're on the freeway, you make the wrong turn. You might have to go 20 miles before you can turn around and get back to where you got off. Unless you break the law and go one of those drive arounds. But you know, that's what happens to a lot of people. They get off, they make the wrong turn because they weren't listening to the Lord. And you know, some people, they never get back to the same point. They hardened their heart at the wrong time. And so we have some spiritual truths here about what does it take to keep in the will of God spiritual lessons here of how not to lose God's perfect will for our life. And these are ageless, timeless principles. And the people, the Hebrew Christians, were at a crossroads. And the people of God in the Old Testament came to many crossroads. And we are in the crossroads in our lives. And many times we're in those crossroads and we don't even know it. Think of the first time that the Holy Spirit, as an unsaved person, think of the first time the Holy Spirit tried to convict you or did convict you. Think of it. What if you would have said no? What if you would have said no? Would the wind of the Holy Spirit be obligated ever again to blow across your path? No. No. But the grace of God, the Spirit of God, pricked our heart, and we agreed with Him. We say, yes, Lord, that's sin. And the Spirit of God now had the freedom to keep working in our life, to bring us to further conviction and faith. None of us would have recognized the significance of that one moment. You know, for a young person, that one moment might be stealing a peanut from those open bins at Pick and Save. Oh, just a little thing. But it might have been the beginning of the work of the Spirit of God to bring a person to conviction and repentance. How many young people have done the same thing and they said to God, nope. And who knows where they're at today. The crises of life. And here are very important principles of making sure that we stay in the will of God. And rejoice, are able to rejoice in the fulfillment of God's will for our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight and for these important principles. And I pray that, Lord, that we would arise out of our sleep, and that, Lord, that we would be aware of the spiritual issues all around us. Pray for that person tonight that is in that place, Lord, where they could find and be in God's perfect will of their life, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Or else they could turn and lose God's will and go the wrong direction. And Lord, I pray that through your Spirit that they would hear your voice. They would allow you to speak. They would respond to you. May these truths, you may use them in our lives. Heads bowed and eyes closed, even tonight, the Spirit of God is working in your life. You dare not let what God is trying to do in your life, you dare not let it go. Perhaps you're here tonight and you've allowed some sin to come in your life. And ever since you allowed that sin to come in your life, the fact is your heart has been hardened and you need to repent and turn from that. so that you can once again be in a place where the Spirit of God can minister. Maybe there's this point in your life tonight of yielding to the Lord to go to higher ground in your own life. And it's time that the Spirit of God is trying to work in your life to bring you to your own convictions of right and wrong, and not merely because they're preached here. And the Spirit of God is trying to bring you to the place of that step of faith of going forward in your life. Multitude of different things, but the Spirit of God is working in your life. Say, Pastor, pray with me. The Spirit of God is working in my life tonight. I need to yield to Him. And I need God's help. Please pray with me. Anyone here tonight? God is speaking to your heart about that. I need to let God have His way in my life. Please pray with me. Okay, amen. Number of different hands. Lord, now thank you for the truth of your word and thank you for your people. Lord, you know every need. You know each person. You know the hunger of their heart, the need of their heart, the need for your intervention. And certainly we know that oftentimes the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is very weak. And so, Lord, we pray for your intervention and your working in the hearts of these, your people, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.